The second scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard once said, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." His quote was part of a journal entry of his, which made the point that we're always moving forward in time. There is never a point when everything stops, so we can pause and understand reality because it's continuously unfolding before us. We live our lives, Kierkegaard tells us, with incomplete information and understanding. I believe it's safe to say that Joseph was not prepared for what he saw when Mary, his betrothed bride, returned from visiting her relative Elizabeth, and she was 4 months pregnant. The Bible says, as Camille read so beautifully, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." This was not, I think it's safe to say, Joseph's plan. He was engaged to Mary. They both were likely very young. This was a formal, legal, binding engagement in that culture that took place before the couple would be married. They had not yet become husband and wife, but legally they were considered married, betrothed. We live our lives, Kierkegaard tells us, with incomplete information and understanding. Our lives are full of uncertainty. Even so, most of us plan as if we do know the future. Most of us have a plan, an idea, of how we think our lives should unfold. That's probably why we plan for the future, consulting financial advisors and insurance experts with their actuarial tables and investment projections. That's why we pursue education or training, careers, jobs, plan to get married, have children, all because we have an idea, a plan of how things should go. Sometimes these are our own ideas and dreams. Sometimes we simply adopt our plans from what we think is expected of us, or what our families have done and expect us to do. We follow all the rules. And in many instances, the plans work, they do. There is some truth with the old expression, "Those who fail to plan, plan to fail." But it's also true that we have incomplete information and understanding. We do not know everything. We cannot predict everything. We cannot count on everything to go our way or as we expect them to go. Our life gets disrupted with what seems to be uncertainty. You know this. You know in your life, things sometimes don't go the way you want them to. Sometimes that can be said very simply, and sometimes with great tears. Things you do not understand. I don't understand cancer. I don't understand why children die at birth. There's a lot that come in your life that you don't understand. But God also has a plan. And unlike us, God does know how things are going to go if we follow his purpose and will. Just as Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We cannot always understand God's ways. This was the predicament Joseph was in our text today. He no doubt had a plan for how his life should go, but it didn't go that way. And then everybody saw it. They no doubt planned to raise a family together in Galilee, and he would support them as a carpenter. A bigger, more majestic, miraculous, beautiful plan was unfolding, but he couldn't see it. It was clothed in scandal. What he did see was that Mary was with child. Given the cultural norms of that day, if a woman was pregnant before marriage or even during betrothment, during betrothal, it was considered scandalous, even adulterous. Adultery brought shame. Being cut off from the community, family, and in some cases, even the threat of death by stoning. Mary had not sinned, but it looked that way. Joseph didn't know that. He only had human knowledge. The text tells us that Joseph was a just man in the English Standard Version. And in other versions, such as the New International Version, it reads righteous man. The word here indicates that he was serious about keeping the laws of God and man. He kept the rules. The word righteous describes what is in conformity to God's own being, his will, standard of rightness. So Joseph wanted to do what was right, not only in God's eyes, in the eyes of the law, but what was right or just with Mary. The text tells us, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This indicates something about the character of Joseph. He loved Mary, and he put his betrothed wife before himself and his own reputation. In his own limited knowledge, he was still going to divorce her, but he wanted to do it in a way that would protect her. There's a lot of changes in culture today about how husbands and wives should love one another. Sometimes I think it's reverting back to days of domination of the male and submission of the female. What's missing is putting your wife before yourself. Putting God first, then your wife. And that's what the Bible teaches. And this is what Joseph did. He was trying to do. He was making a choice, not just to protect his own reputation. Most men probably would have just done that. That was his right in the culture. But to act justly toward Mary. What does the prophet Micah say? To act justly, walk humbly, and to love your God? He was also trying to abide by the law. In his human reality, he only knew what he saw. He wanted to do right for all involved, least of all worrying about how it made him look. In compassion for Mary, he resolved to issue a private divorce. This was according to the law. He could have chosen to give put her out with a private divorce and protect her, or a public one. He chose a private divorce. Joseph's character was revealed in this crisis to be one who was righteous and compassionate, a just man. But even so, he was still about to make a very big mistake. Mary was innocent. God was at work. Joseph had incomplete knowledge. The text tells us that in verse 26:20, but as he considered these things, this word considered does not denote a calm, let me see, kind of considering. The root of the word is rendered passionate supposing in a person's mind or heart, producing fervent inner cogitation. He considered these things intensely. He probably grieved them. He was probably passionate about it. He might have called out. I would say it this way. He struggled to understand these things. In his struggling to discern what to do, God met him in his struggling. And to me, this is the hope of this message. When we're struggling with the things we don't understand, God will meet us there. Many people seek understanding to have faith. But when you have faith, it's your faith seeking understanding. Lord, teach me your ways. Lord, give me your next step. Our ways are not God's ways. God met him in his struggling. And the Bible says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God's message to Joseph was simply, this is about Jesus. It's not about you. When we go through our struggles and we don't understand God's ways, I think the Lord tells us it's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about Joseph and the shame he might encounter, or Mary and the danger she might encounter. It's about the Savior of the world, God's plan, God coming into humanity in this passionate, wild kind of human way. This was bigger than any of Joseph's initial concerns. You know, we make the manger scene so nice and sophisticated. They all have nice clothes, you know, and Joseph stands there so serenely. That's not the way the Lord was working. He was coming to a kind of, the old carols say, a mean estate. He was coming in a human life. He was coming in an uncontrollable, wild way. He was coming in a way nobody predicted or understood, except the prophets. And you know, maybe the prophets knew this, but I'm not sure they recognized it if they would have seen it. Joseph may have known the prophets, but all he knew is what he saw in front of him. The Bible says, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The gospel writer Matthew, some 70 or years later, in this text, after this miracle occurred, began this chapter with a detailed genealogy tracing Jesus and Joseph all the way back to David and Abraham. He laid out how the prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus. This genealogy lays out how Jesus was legally in line with the house of David, as the prophet said. This was through Joseph, who was a descendant of David. But Joseph was just his legal father. If you want to get into the details of that, there was a break in the line of inheritance of the throne because of a curse, because of one in the line who disobeyed and didn't follow God's will, and he became childless. But still, Joseph would be the legal person over Jesus under David and Abraham. Just the legal father, the adopted father, not the bloodline father. That was through the Holy Spirit. But in Luke, we have another genealogy which goes the reverse. Instead of starting with Abraham and going down, it starts with Jesus and goes up. And it, most scholars believe, follows Mary's line. And Mary was also in the house of David from Nathan the prophet. She was also there, but there was no break in her line. So you can see that Mary was the biological mother of Jesus, and Joseph was the legal father of Jesus on this earth, and it could only be those two. It could only be those two to fit the prophecies. It could be none others. So if Joseph wondered why me, and Mary wondered why me, it had to be them. God had a plan. And he prophesied the plan, and he was working the plan, and it was hard to see the plan. And looking back 70 years later, Matthew and Luke, they say, look, this was what God is doing. Life is hard to understand forwards, only backwards. These prophecies were fulfilled in these two. God had a plan, but in the moment, it was not possible for Joseph to really know this in human terms. It took Matthew and Luke, writing years later, to clearly lay out the whole plan. When Joseph realizes this is about Jesus, not about him or about Mary, when he awakens from the dream, and the text tells us, he awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, he took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. He might not give us the whole plan, but God will give us the next step. I do believe that's true. And that's what he did. He gave Joseph the next step. Take your wife, raise this son, and call him Jesus. Jesus. The meaning of the name was Yahweh, contracted to Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. Joseph didn't name him Joseph number two, Joseph the second. He named him after God. Yahweh saves. Joseph and Mary were willing to bear the shame, the disgrace in people's eyes to be a part of God's plan to bring salvation to the world. Jesus would eventually bear all of our shame. They bore the shame at birth. He would bear all of our shame on the cross which was despised by the world. When Joseph realized that Jesus was the point, Jesus was God's purpose, he didn't have to have a complete plan. He didn't have to figure it all out for himself. He simply had to let Jesus be the Savior. When we let Jesus be our Savior rather than ourselves, we are free. This freedom brings peace in the midst of uncertainty. It brings joy without control and rest without resolution. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he acted with peace within uncertainty and joy without control. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not till she should give him birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. God is salvation. Joseph rested in the knowledge that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, and he lived his life forward, trusting God. He let go of control. Not just to anyone. It wasn't anarchy. He let go of control with God. He just trusted him. Perhaps you're in the midst of struggling to understand today. Perhaps you're feeling surrounded by uncertainty. And we want to control things. We want to do them by the rules. We have this idea of a contract. If I do it this way, if I act this way, if I live this way, then God's got to bless me. Now, he's going to bless us anyway, but he's going to do it his way. God doesn't give us the whole plan, but when we trust him, he does give us the next step. And step by step, we follow him as his plan unfolds before us. There is the words of a song that Rich Mullins wrote long ago. And these are the words. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. We may not have the whole plan, but we do have the next step. And whatever that step is for you today, follow the Lord as he's leading you, and he will lead you all of your days.